Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends, and thank you for tuning in once again to the podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I am D.A. Bennett, one of the pastors here at St. Andrews, and in studio today with me, as always, my friend, my colleague, the woman with the good shoes, Pastor Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be back in studio after a couple of weeks off, and just glad to be back doing this again. How are you?
I am good. I I'm watching other people not be good, and I'm
yeah.
I'm good. But for those of you that follow us every week, we do want to give a little explanation. Stephanie's family got to deal with the COVID bug, and so consequently, we could not record the podcast. And right now, we're about a week behind,
right?
And so that you would tune in and listen, you're like, "Well, he didn't do that last Sunday." you are correct;
right.
I did not do that last Sunday,
right.
And we're just always grateful that you would take time to listen. We see this as a real discipleship vehicle for mm-hmm. us and helping people to connect their lives with Christ and connect with our church and connect with one another. And so today we're going to start focusing on the new sermon series we're doing that we call Reset.
Mm-hmm.
Reset, I came across the idea for this series when I was reading some stuff before the new year, and the word reset just kind of jumped off the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up the definition, and a definition of reset is setting things back the way they're supposed to be. And and that's what, you know, since last March, that's what we've
almost
heard everybody saying is, oh, when are things going to get back to normal? Even if it's a new normal, when are they going to get back? And so that word jumped off the page. But I do have a confession that I have to make.
Oh, okay. It's good for the soul.
A little bit embarrassing, a little bit humorous.
Oh, okay.
But last spring after Easter, I actually preached a series called Reset.
Yes, you did.
And it is not the same series.
That is
that
so
we're doing.
Funny.
I'd forgotten about that. I thought, hey, have I done that before? And I thought, nah, I'd remember if I had done that.
That's funny.
I was looking at, oh, yeah, I did preach.
Well,
maybe I should have called this Resetting Reset.
Right, right. Reset Squared.
Should have done something else. But, you know, whenever I talk to you, and here's where I think you were going to go, you had a reaction to that. You want to share what your thoughts were with
folks? I just think it's a really, really cool. Really cool series, especially for this time. And when you think about setting things back to the way they're supposed to be, I think about this old Staples commercial where they have the easy button. Do you remember that commercial?
It actually goes through my mind when I'm thinking of these things.
Yeah, where they're like, they have the red button and you just hit it to make things easy.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of feel like that's what we want, is a reset button where we can be like, tap it and it just goes back.
Right.
And yet the interesting thing about resetting things is that it's never that easy. It's just never that easy. And it's good that it's not that easy, because we don't want to go back to before the pandemic as if it never happened, because there are things we have learned. There are a lot of things we've learned personally. There are things we've learned as a church. There's things we've learned as a people. And I just think it's important for us not to forget those, but to reset ourselves back to the way things were. We have to take what we've learned with us. But what else are your
thoughts? And, you know, listening to you talk, I think that's one of the things that we need to say, we need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Things will not go back exactly the way they were before. And so when we talk about resetting things the way they are supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
that's not the way things are supposed to be before.
Before, exactly.
It's the way they're supposed to be. And I was actually reading or watching a podcast yesterday, a training event that I found very helpful, challenging me in some places where I'm thinking and praying for our church.
Uh-huh.
And probably people will hear more about this in the future.
Yeah.
But the lead teacher on this said, you realize that for the past 7-8 years, the church is just in decline.
Yeah.
And he wasn't talking about St. Andrews. He wasn't talking about the United Methodist Church. He was talking about the church in the United States.
Yeah.
Because we like to look at other churches and say, oh, that church is growing. That church is thriving. And and so often what it is, it's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, people leave one place and just go to another. And so we are not doing evangelism the way we're not winning to people to Christ the way we once did. And so we've got to reset. We've got to figure out how it is to bring people into relationship with Christ. That is our mission, making disciples of Jesus Christ. And, you know, so when I find myself thinking, why do we need a spiritual reset?
Yeah.
And the way that I approach the answer to that and the way this series is going to be geared is, who are people that we read about in the Bible that at some point in their life had to have a reset in their life? And of course, the first one is right there in the beginning, with Adam and Eve. That here they were, everything was great, everything was perfect, everything was good the way God wanted creation to be. They lived in this unique and special relationship with Christ that honestly we can only imagine. I mean, we can dream about it, we can think about it. But I don't think we would know the joy and the peace and the goodness of all that they experienced in relationship with, you know, the one they would call their creator. And they chose to forfeit all that through an act of deception by the serpent. And so that led them to the place of disobedience. And so that's kind of what we want to focus on is, you know, how is it that we get in disobedience? How do we often respond to disobedience? And then how can we have a reset from disobedience? You have thoughts on that?
Well, I just, I love how you talk about, you know, this connection with deception, because, you know, the problem with the human race from the very beginning is that when we believe lies, we mess up.
Right.
Because you're not supposed to live your life based on lies. And so, you know, when the serpent says to Eve, well, did God really say that you would die?
Yeah.
And, you know, he puts this little bit of doubt and deceives her about what God really said. And then it leads her to disobedience. Now, I am not one of those people that blames everything on the serpent. Like, I believe that Adam and Eve totally have to take responsibility, just like we have to take responsibility for what we do. But if you have to evaluate your life when you're thinking about resetting your life, and if you are needing a reset because of disobedience in your life, you have to look at what you believe. Do you believe the truth about who God is, or do you believe lies about who God is? Because you can't have you can't reset and still believe lies about who God is.
And I think that's a big struggle for us that we see is when she was deceived. The deception was God's not being honest with you.
Right.
God's not telling you the truth. And so often what we hear people say is, I don't believe in a God like that.
Right.
I don't believe in a God like that. Recently I heard somebody say a good way to deal with that question, I really love this, was to say, tell me about this God you don't believe in.
That's good.
And oftentimes when they say, well, this is a God I don't believe in, often we would find ourselves saying, yeah, we don't believe in that God either. And then perhaps if the Holy Spirit is working in their heart and there's a spiritual curiosity, they may say, well, tell me about the God you believe in.
Right, exactly.
And I balance these things. Several years ago, a man said to me, it's a phrase that I sometimes believe, but I don't think I believe it the way he did. He said, blessings always follow obedience.
Oh.
Okay, now there's that part of me that says, okay, with Adam and Eve, as long as they were obedient, they lived within the blessing of God. I cannot deny that. I think the struggle for me that I wouldn't want to, quote, deceive people with is that if you're obedient, all that happens to you is blessing.
Right, no.
Because that's not the case. No, I mean, there's lots of times we're obedient and life gets hard.
Right.
Life gets tough. You know, I think of those examples of people who God said, go do this, and they did, and they found themselves in prison, or they found themselves beat up, or whatever.
Yeah.
So while I do believe blessings follow obedience, I don't think that that's all we experience.
Yeah.
It's not like, because again, God's a God of grace. God is not a God of, you keep my rules, and it will always be good.
No.
Sometimes we keep the rules and we experience the bad because God has a greater and different good plan for people.
Exactly. I love that. The other thing that I think is interesting about this word obedience is, you know, when you look at it in the Old Testament, obedience and love were connected.
Yeah, say more.
Yeah, well, and you know, Jesus says to his disciples in the New Testament, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And I think that's hard for a Western world that believes in freedom, freedom of choice, you know, I ought to be able to do whatever I want, that we don't want to connect love and obedience. We don't want to, some people don't want a God who says, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. But the interesting thing about that is who God is. And all throughout the Old Testament, even in the laws of the Old Testament, it was all tied to if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And I think it's interesting when we think about obedience in that way, that my obedience is a response to his love.
Thank you.
Right?
I mean, that is, you're saying all this and it's just brewing in me. I don't remain obedient because that means
then God will love me. Yeah, right, exactly.
I stay obedient because I love God and I would never want to make God unhappy. I would never want to do anything that causes me or anyone else to feel separated from God.
Right. Well, and I think it's easy to connect that when we think about the people in our lives that we love the most.
Come on.
I mean, seriously, like when I think about my girls and I think about the fact that when they do what I ask them to do, I do feel loved by them because it's a measure of trust. It's a measure of respect. And it is a measure of love because number one, at least at this point in their lives, I don't know that's going to be this way for much longer, that I do know better than they do. Sometimes I'm thinking maybe that's reversing, but you know, I know better than them because I have more experience. God infinitely knows better than us. So he knows what is best. So when he asks us to do something, and I don't just mean a call on our lives, but I mean when he asks us to keep his commands, when he asks us to keep the Sabbath day holy, to not take the Lord's name in vain, to not steal and not commit adultery, I mean the Ten Commandments, but then when he also says, love your neighbor as you love yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we do those things and keep those commands, then we are showing him our love for him, and he wants us to do those things because it's what's best for us, because he loves us.
Which is why blessings then would follow obedience.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, when you're talking about your kids, I'm thinking, yeah, whenever my kids do what I say, here's what I want, here's what I expect, and when they meet that, yeah, I feel honored.
Yeah.
You know, you still value me as your parent, and you want to do those things.
Yeah.
Of course, the other thing is, sometimes, whether it's my kids, your kids, or when we were kids, or
however
that works, we choose to be disobedient. And that's what we see in the story of Adam and Eve, is they did choose to be disobedient. So the question becomes, how did they deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I look at is when the Lord God is interacting with Adam, Adam's response is blame.
Right.
Oh, it was the woman.
Right.
It was her that got me to
right.
do this.
Right.
And I think that's a pretty common way that people want to deal with disobedience is through blame.
Yes, exactly. Well, and it's like casting off the consequence onto somebody else. You don't want to deal with the consequence yourself, so you just cast it off onto somebody else. You're exactly right.
One of the things that you're the psychologist in this duo, and one of the things that you know is when you're trying to help people figure out why they are acting and behaving the way you do, you might trace back family of origin stuff, and a person can suddenly feel like, you know, well, I'm a victim. I'm this way because my parents did it, which is the blame game. And when doing campus ministry, you know, 100 years ago, however long, maybe just 75, there were, you know, the thing that I kept telling myself over and over again is if I can help students learn, you have to take responsibility for your decision. It's not your parents' fault.
Right.
It's not your roommate's fault. It's not your professor's fault.
Right.
You made this decision.
Mm-hmm.
You have to own it.
Yeah.
And so often when we're disobedient, that's not what we want to do.
No.
We want that scapegoat. We want someone else to have to bear responsibility for that which is our responsibility to bear.
Yeah. Which is funny because I think when we do that, we are trying to be free from the consequence of what we did wrong. So we're trying to have freedom by blaming somebody else. The funny thing is, you can only have freedom when you take responsibility for what you've done.
Right.
Like, that's true freedom. And yet we tend to skirt around that while remaining in chains by blaming somebody else. It's an interesting thing.
Right. And in our relationship with Christ, for us to really enter into a relationship with Christ and receive the mm-hmm. grace that God gives us, the starting point is we have to take responsibility for our
sin. For our sin, yeah.
But therein is the love of God, is mm-hmm. that Jesus said, I'll take the blame for you.
Yes.
I'll go to the cross. I will bear the pain and the shame yes. and the suffering.
Yes.
Because I deeply love you.
Yeah. That's good news right
and,
there.
And so that was one way that we saw that at least Adam mm-hmm. dealt with his blame. And, mm-hmm. You know, as people, we certainly don't like it when people blame us for something we didn't do, say it's our fault. That's what sends us to therapy.
Right, right.
but prior to Adam doing that, we really see the excuse that Eve has to make
yeah.
when the serpent is dealing with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how the scripture says that the serpent was saying whatever the serpent was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the scripture reads, Eve was convinced.
Uh-huh, yes.
You know, she bought into the deception.
Yep.
So she ate the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, then she looks at Adam and says, here, you got to take this. You got to
yeah.
try this. And her defense was not blaming
yeah.
the serpent. Her defense was trying to rationalize what was done.
Right.
And I think, you know, on some of the things you were saying earlier, that's where we really get in trouble
yeah.
is we're not taking responsibility for ourselves, mm-hmm. and we're believing there is another voice, another mm-hmm. authority other than God
yeah.
that can tell us what's better than God.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's going to get us into trouble. That's exactly right. Well, and rationalization can be a nasty downward spiral because it's easy to just keep rationalizing.
Right.
And it is another way to try to be free from the consequence. I mean, it has a similar result or desire that we have when we blame other people, because the rationalization just means I'm trying to not deal with the consequence of what I did.
Right. Or I'm trying to say it was okay for me to do what I did.
Exactly.
You know, Stephanie, it was okay for me to lie to you and tell you those shoes really didn't go with that blouse because you know better than I do, and I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but honestly, when you showed me those, I had my poker face, you know.
Right, right.
And then you say, well, why did you lie to me?
Uh-huh.
At that point, I either have to come clean, or I have to tell another lie
right.
to cover up, and that's where that spiral.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the way that we hear people say, well, rationalize my sin is, well, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Eve said.
Right.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I mean, I was convinced.
Right. That, you exactly.
know, who was I to know that this creature of yours uh-huh. had evil intent? Because I really didn't know what evil is.
Right.
Well, you didn't know what evil is because I created you just to live in relationship
yes.
with me.
Yes. And to not know that. Yeah, exactly. It's so true. Well, and I love, too, what you said about the fact that, you know, we have to think about who we're listening to, who we're giving authority to in our lives. Because, you know, up to that point, Adam and Eve had accepted the authority of God.
Right.
But then in that moment, they switched and they started accepting the authority of Satan. And, you know, that's where you got to wrestle. I mean, that is the ultimate wrestling of the human spirit
mm-hmm.
is who are you going to give authority to?
Right. You know, there's an old song that goes through my head when we had this conversation that perhaps some of our listeners are aware of by Casting Crowns. I think it was actually on their first album.
I love them.
Over 15 years ago. So
yes. I sang this song with my husband. I know what you're going to talk about.
The voice of truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, the world will tell us one thing. The deceiver will tell us one thing.
Yeah.
Other people will tell us we're one thing.
Yeah.
But God, the voice of truth.
Yeah.
tells us something else about ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I've been preparing for the message I'm going to speak to the youth this coming Wednesday night. And one of the things I'm going to do with them is talk about what it would be like if you had been told at a very young age when you were first learning your colors, if you had been told that green was red and red was green.
Right.
Okay. So let's say you just grew up believing the opposites were true. And you think about all the things in life that that would affect, like, you know, candy canes. Like, forever, a candy cane would be green and white to you, right. Not red and white, because red is green and green is red. And then you think about, you know, Christmas trees would be red instead of green.
Yeah, about St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, right, exactly. But then what you really think about is, and this is why I'm thinking about it with the youth, is they're coming up on driving age.
Uh-huh.
Well, red and green are really important colors when you're
driving,
right?
Very important colors to know, exactly.
And so if you're told that, well, when the light turns green, you go, and when light turns red, you stop. But if red is green and green is red, you're going when you should be stopping and stopping when you should be going.
Yeah.
And then you get into trouble, and then it could even lead to death.
Right.
And that's what happens when we believe lies, when we buy into it like Eve did, and we say, okay, I'm all in, I'm convinced. And then you base your whole life on lies. And the most dangerous thing that I think so many Christians actually do, not just secular folks out there trying to make it, but Christians, is that we base our belief about who God is on lies about who he is, not actually truth about who he is. And that's when, like the song that you're saying, the voice of truth tells me a different story.
Right.
Yes, it does. And you've got to figure out, am I believing the truth, God, about who you are, your nature, and what you want for me? Or do I believe lies?
And there's a clear way that we have always said, this is how we know what God is saying. And that is why Scripture is an authority. So I'm glad, I'm looking forward to the see how the students respond to that, because I actually have an idea for what I was going to do next week.
Nice.
And it could build on that.
I love that.
That'll really be cool.
That's cool.
So we need a spiritual reset.
Mm-hmm.
When we're disobedient, when we're sinful, when we're feeling ourselves distanced and separated from God, we need a reset. We need something to happen to make things the way they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe in Scripture that according to what God's plan is, God's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth, and things will be set back the way God wanted them to be.
Yes.
We're just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first step that we have to do, again, is taking responsibility for our disobedience. And the way that we do that is through confession.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see Eve do.
Mm-hmm.
At first, she was convinced the serpent was right.
Yeah.
And then Adam blames her.
Yeah.
And when God, the image I get, God looks at her and says, well, what's your story?
Yeah, right.
and she just comes clean. The serpent deceived me, and I ate the fruit. She didn't say, that serpent deceived me, it's that serpent's fault. No, the serpent deceived me.
And I ate the fruit.
Mm-hmm. And her confession then, I think, becomes the first step. The first act we read in Scripture after humanity is disobedience is to be right with God, confess sin.
That's so good. That is so good. And in that brings freedom, again, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk more about in our next one, is focusing on who God is as opposed to who we are.
Yeah.
But one of the kind of closing thoughts I have is, friends, if you're listening to this, again, we know that all of us probably come from a different background in the churches we've been, or maybe somebody's listening and you really don't have a background in church. And one of the things we know can happen is people can beat us up with the reality that we're sinful. And I don't want to gloss over that we have to be responsible for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
We come by it naturally, or maybe I should say
originally.
Because when Adam and Eve disobey, all of creation fails, and we're now born in this sinful world where we don't, even with what Christ has done, our relationship is still somewhat distanced from God.
Yeah.
And I would hope that with your sin, you would not walk around thinking, it's all my fault. I mean, yes, take responsibility and say, it is my fault. But don't carry the guilt. Don't carry the burden.
Mm-hmm.
Again, get your eyes off yourself and begin to look at Jesus, who said, that's right, you are the blame, but you know what? I'm going to take the blame for you.
Right.
I'm going to stand before my dad and say, it was my fault.
Yeah.
And I've already paid the price for that. So this person is free to go. And I want you to see that confession, again, it leads us to a place of freedom. It does not lead us to a place of bondage.
Right. Amen to that. That is so good.
So do you have any closing thoughts
today? Oh, well, I'm just excited that y'all have joined us. I'm excited for us to be in a new sermon series and also a new year with great things that are ahead of us, and just excited for y'all to be a part of that with us. I hope that you'll think about sharing these podcasts with other people. and comment. Let us know what you think of them. Give us some ratings. And it's always helpful to us to get some feedback. So hope that you are being blessed. We are praying for your health, for your well-being, for your relationship with God, and asking Him to bless you, open your eyes and ears to who He is, and to grow in relationship with Him. So we're excited to be a part of that with you on this journey. I hope that you will join us either on-site or online here at St. Andrews. You can catch us at 8:30 or 10:30 on Sunday mornings. And we're just looking forward to the day when we can all be back together again, feeling safe and feeling comfortable. But until that time, we will look forward to either seeing you on-site or online. Have a great week.
Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe that'll work for you. God bless you.